Today's scripture reading is taken from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 10, verses 1 to 12. Luke 10, verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money bag, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide, for the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick in it, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off against you.' Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Dear, blessed morning, my brothers and sisters. I bring you greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as the Chinese New Year period comes to a close this week, the Pastoral Admin team would like to express our thanks and our gratitude to the congregation for your well wishes and gifts. And we were just finishing up our Christmas goodie, and the Chinese New Year goodie will continue to sustain us in our staff meeting for the next few weeks. And may the Lord's blessing overflow in your lives as you go forth to be a blessing to many others. Is that echo I hear? Yeah. It has been about 1.5 months since we started the new order of service, the adjusted order, whereby we shift the sermon and scripture reading to the center of the worship service. We explained firstly that this expresses the Presbyterian distinctive of the centrality of God's word that guides all our responses to his word. And secondly, unlike in the past, whereby the sermon will lead to the closing song, and then that will be followed by breakfast, coffee, and tea, with this adjusted order, it will give us more time to further reflect on God's word during the offering, during prayer time. This is another intention. Thirdly, in a practical sense, it requires intentional effort to pay attention to God's word. And we believe that we are more able to pay attention to God's word in the first part of the service rather than the second part, when our energy might perhaps drop along the way. So that's a practical reason. So for all these theological reasons, liturgical reasons, and practical reasons, we hope and pray that this adjustment has been one that we will slowly adjust to and find that it will better help us to respond to God's word. Now, interestingly, we have some congregants saying that this adjusted order seems more tiring, because in the past, the sermon will lead to closing song. Closing song, it will end, you can have breakfast, coffee, tea. It didn't feel so tiring. But right now, after the sermon, it's not done. We still got so many things after that. It feels very tiring. But what we want to tell you is that it's perhaps more psychological than anything because we only adjusted the sequence. We did not extend the duration of the whole service. No, we only adjusted the sequence. So it could be just psychological. And perhaps some of you might have conditioned your bladder and you need to go to the toilet after the sermon because the service is going to end. Please recondition your bladder so that you do not need to go after the sermon because we are not done with the service yet. And also, another thing is that previously, the offering was collected before the sermon, but right now, the offering collected after the sermon. So some of you might be thinking, hey, I will decide how much to give depending on the quality of the sermon. I will decide how much to give. Please don't do that because we will get you to go and attend membership class again, have a refresher, and renew your membership vows all over again at Easter. Because the offering is a response to God's word. All the more, we should examine our giving in the light of God's word. We should examine our giving as a response to His word. So, let us continue to adjust ourselves to this order so that we can see the intention behind this and so that all our responses to God's word will be in the light of God's word. We are going to continue our sermon in a series on Christian community, and let us pray. God our Father, we give thanks for your word that is a lamp to our feet and a light for our path. May your spirit lead us on our journey of discipleship to follow in the footsteps of Christ, for we pray this in his name. Amen. Years ago, on January 21st, 1930, England's King George V was going to give an important speech that was going to be broadcast all over the world. And as the broadcast was going to begin, someone in New York radio station accidentally tripped over the wire, broke the wire, and would cut off the broadcast to American and Canadian listeners. And please don't try this at home, but the chief control operator, Harold Vidian, grabs both ends of the live wires in his hands so that by allowing the current to surge through his body, he closed the electrical circuit to allow the broadcast to continue. And he held onto the wire for 20 minutes under intense pain so that the king could complete his message. He gave his all for the message of the king. And more than 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ caused kingdom workers to give their all for the message of the King. He called the 12 apostles, he called the 72 disciples, and today he continues to call us to give our all for the message of the King. And from today's passage in Luke chapter 10, we shall see three ways for us to do so. The context of this passage is that earlier on in Luke chapter 9, Jesus had already sent out the 12 apostles. He spoke about his own death, and he issued the challenge. All those who follow him must carry their cross. All those who follow him must count the cost. And then in chapter 10, to this passage, Jesus sent out the 72 disciples to go ahead of him to all the places that he would go to proclaim the kingdom of God. The number 72 has deep symbolism because in the Greek Old Testament, there were 72 nations listed in Genesis chapter 10. In the table of nations, there were 72 nations. And so, in the Gospel of Luke, by mentioning 72 disciples being sent out, it anticipates the proclamation of the gospel unto the ends of the earth, especially in the book of Acts. Notice the first thing that Jesus said about the disciples in verse 2. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. The harvest analogy would be a very familiar analogy to the original readers because in an agricultural society, whenever it was time for the harvest, the window to bring in the harvest would be just a matter of weeks, if not days. A matter of weeks, if not just a few days. And it would be the common practice in those days to increase the number of workers increase the number of laborers, increase the number of harvesters to bring in the harvest because it was urgent. Therefore, the first challenge that Jesus presented to them was the situation of an abundant harvest but inadequate harvesters. Abundant harvest, inadequate harvesters. And back in September 2021, during the pandemic, it was said that Australian farmers, they were reporting a bumper crop, but they could not bring in sufficient harvesters because of border closure during the pandemic. And the situation did not even improve in November 2022. Even back in those days, they even by offering salary up to 40 Sing dollar per hour, right? 40 Sing dollar per hour, they could not get sufficient harvesters. One citrus fruit company wanted to recruit 200 harvesters. They only managed to recruit 20. And all the fruits are rotting in the field. So in the same way, Jesus presented the situation of an abundant harvest, inadequate harvesters. And in the situation, he called them to pray that the Lord of harvest will send out laborers into his harvest field. And the manpower can be daunting, but God will produce. Next slide. The manpower can be daunting, but God will produce harvesters. And the first way for us to give our all as kingdom workers is to be laborers for a plentiful harvest. Recently, our synod reported two key manpower challenges. The first challenge is that a number of full-time workers are entering into retirement age, and therefore the synod has taken the proactive step to extend the retirement age to retain the services of these experienced and veteran full-time workers. And on the other hand, the synod is also helping to provide funding so that more people can be equipped for theological training, can go into full-time ministry. Our Princep internship program and our anniversary seminary fund has been privileged to raise up pastors, counselors, missionaries, lecturers, hospital chaplains. But we continue to issue the challenge. We issue the challenge especially to young people to rethink our life, rethink your life in this situation of inadequate harvesters. When the harvest is so abundant, when the harvesters are inadequate, we need to rethink our lives, rethink our priorities, rethink our goals. And why is this challenge specially targeted at young people? Because some young people might think that I want to achieve professional success, I want to accumulate wealth before I go into full-time ministry. But before you know it, it is time to retire. And then we are back to square one. Facing this situation of an abundant harvest, inadequate harvesters, we challenge young people, rethink your life goals, rethink your priorities. The manpower can be daunting, but God will produce. Will you join Christ as laborers for a plentiful harvest? The second way to be a kingdom worker is in verses 3 to 8. Jesus says to his disciples, "Go your way, behold, I am sending you out as lamb in the midst of wolves. Carry no money back, no knapsack, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest upon him. But if not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking what they provide. For the laborer deserves his wages. Do not go from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and they receive you, eat what is set before you." In this passage, Jesus issued four prohibitions. And we must understand why he said so. Firstly, no money back. In ancient times, the travelers, when they traveled, they would keep the money in their outer garment, under their belt. Okay, that would be what the ancient travelers would do, an outer garment under the belt. But what about very well-to-do travelers? If you do that, the money will spill out. And so, well-to-do travelers would use money bank to keep all their wealth and money as they travel. Therefore, when Jesus prohibited the disciples from carrying money bags, what he meant was to bring enough money, don't bring too much money. Secondly, no knapsack. Knapsack was what a traveler would use to keep their clothing or personal belongings. And Jesus was calling the disciples, don't carry knapsack because you are to travel light. Travel light. And not to be slowed down. Thirdly, no sandals. We would think that it would not be possible to walk over very rough terrain in those days without sandals. And so some commentators hold on to the position that Jesus' instruction was not to bring extra sandals beyond what you need. Fourthly, greet no one on the road. In the customs of those days, those exchanges could be extended. Extended exchanges would lead to unnecessary delay. And so when Jesus said, don't greet anyone on the road, what he was trying to say is that, don't kepo, don't be busybody, don't be distracted, do your work. So when we bring all these four prohibitions together, what Jesus meant was that the disciples must give priority to an urgent mission and to trust in his provision for an urgent mission. That was what Jesus is trying to say. And that was why Jesus instructed disciples, receive the welcome, receive the hospitality, receive the provision of whichever household, whichever town that were willing to receive them. In other words, the challenge that Jesus posed to them was that the journey can be demanding, but God will provide. The journey can be demanding, but God will provide. Therefore, the second way for us to give our all as kingdom workers is to be servants for an urgent mission. And to give priority for this urgent mission, we are to reflect on how easily we might be slow, we might be hindered, we might be obstructed by the things of this world. Recently, China News Asia Talking Point talked about the issue of what to do about cluttered corridors. The problem of cluttered corridors could be so serious that it is slowed, it hindered, it obstructed the urgent mission of ambulance crew because they could not make their way across the corridor to save somebody. In one experiment, they timed how long it would take an ambulance crew to push the stretcher across a cluttered corridor to save a dummy at the end of the corridor and make the same way back that same corridor. They took more than 3 minutes just to save the dummy. And in the next experiment, the production crew cleared all the clutter so that it was a clear corridor, and the ambulance crew again pushed the stretcher down that clear corridor, saved the dummy, and made the way back just about 1 minute. It was a matter of life and death. So likewise, could there be those among us who might have been slowed by the things that we are chasing? We are hindered by the things that we are stockpiling. We are obstructed by the things that we are accumulating so that we are not able to give attention, focus, priority to the urgent mission, the mission of proclaiming the kingdom of God. And on the other hand, Jesus' challenge applies to the rest of us, whether in our own chasing, in our own stockpiling, in our own accumulating. We have kept all our resources to ourselves so that we are not able to be God's channel of welcome, hospitality, provision for those who responded to God's call. The challenge is summarized by American author and educator Parker Palmer. He wrote in his book, if we allow the scarcity assumption to dominate our thinking, we will act in individualistic, competitive ways that destroy community. And if we destroy community, where creating and sharing with others generates abundance, the scarcity assumption will become more valid. This sermon and Bible study series is on the topic of Christian community. So that we can fulfill our church team, renewing our hearts, building as one. And so the challenge for us as a Christian community is whether we can build as one because we can share as one. Whether we can build as one because we can share as one. And the journey can be demanding, but God will provide. Will we join Christ to be servants for an urgent mission? Third way to be a kingdom worker is written in verses 9 to 11. Jesus says, "Heal the sick in it and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to our feet we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near." The Gospel of Luke tells us that Jesus Christ has come to inaugurate the kingdom of God. The coming of God's kingdom means that we live under God's rule, we live under God's reign. And it is this coming of God's kingdom that the disciples were sent forth to proclaim by words and works. By their words and works, they proclaim the kingdom. And the point is that God's kingdom has come, whether or not the people accepted the message or whether the people refused the message. The kingdom of God has come as a fact. So what do we make of the phrase, "even the dust of your town that clings to our feet we wipe off against you"? In the religious and cultural customs of those days, when Jews travel outside Palestine, outside their own region, into foreign land, into Gentile land, they would accumulate dust from Gentile land on their feet. And before they return home, return back to Jewish land, they will shake the dust off those feet so that they will not bring Gentile dust into Jewish land to pollute the land, contaminate the land. So that would be considered a symbolic act in this context. A symbolic act to mean that the disciples were God's representatives. And to reject the disciples' proclamation is to refuse God's salvation. And to refuse God's salvation is to receive eternal condemnation. The disciples were representatives of God, representatives of Christ. And in a way, we can understand that because when we watch Chinese period drama, we often encounter a scene, the emperor will issue an edict. Then the envoy will receive the edict and then bring it to the recipients. When the person arrives, then he will announce, "Sen zi dao," and then this is the arrival of the imperial edict, and then the envoy represents imperial authority. That was in those days, but in modern times, that role would have been fulfilled by ambassadors. Ambassadors of a country that live in another land, in a foreign land, to represent their own country, whether or not that land would be a hostile land or a friendly land, he or she, the ambassador, must represent his or her own country. So likewise, the disciples were to go forth to be representatives of God, representatives of Christ, to proclaim the coming of God's kingdom. Regardless of the people's response, the outcome can be discouraging, but God will prevail. The outcome can be discouraging, but God will prevail. Therefore, the third way for us to give our all as kingdom workers is to be ambassadors for an eternal kingdom. During the Chinese New Year period, some of us might have been reminded during our interaction how awkward, difficult, or challenging it might be to reach out to family members or relatives. This could be some of the most difficult outreach situation to our own family members or relatives. and some of whom we might have given up hope many years ago. And somehow during the recent Chinese New Year period, we might be reminded that people need the Lord. During one of the recent New Year visitations, I saw my relative lighting the oil lamp before the altar. And then she turned and posed to me a very sudden question. She asked, "Do you light candles in church?" And then that whole conversation led to the lighting of the Advent wreath. How we prepare for Christmas. Jesus Christ born as Savior of the world. And because it was all in Mandarin, I was limited in my explanation. So after that, I came back to the office, gathered some Chinese evangelistic tracts, and then just the past few days ago, I presented those tracts to my relative. I do not know whether they will read it. I do not know how they will respond. But this is the point. You and I are ambassadors of an eternal kingdom. And the kingdom has come regardless of the people's response. And we must go forth to represent that kingdom. So the outcome can be discouraging, but God will prevail. Will you join Christ as an ambassador for an eternal kingdom? Sir Francis Drake was a renowned English admiral and explorer in the 16th century. He was especially known for sailing around the globe in a single expedition from 1577 to 1580. He navigated the Pacific Ocean, explored the western coast of North America, and even claimed for England the land that is now known as California. And because of his remarkable achievements, Francis Drake was subsequently knighted by Queen Elizabeth I on April 4th, 1581. There was a time when he was recruiting young men to join him on an expedition. He gathered the young men and said to them, "If you join me in this expedition, you will see some of the most marvelous things that your eyes could ever behold. Sandy white beaches, majestic landscape, exotic fruit, foreign people, priceless treasures. And all these will be yours if you join me, because it will be a journey of a lifetime." But the result was that none of the young men responded. And so the next day, he gathered another group of young people, asked them, "Will you join me? If you join me on this expedition, you will encounter storms that will terrify you, ferocious winds that will blow you off course. And the scarcity of water will be so bad that you will beg for even a single drop of water. Suffering and danger would be your constant companion. But if you join me and live through all this, the reward will exceed your wildest dreams." Every single one of the young men responded. They signed up to join Francis Drake. Today, Jesus Christ continues to call us to join him, to sign up and join him. The manpower can be daunting, but God will produce. The journey can be demanding, but God will provide. And the outcome can be discouraging, but God will prevail. Will you sign up and join him? Amen. Let us all stand as we respond. Let us pray. God our Father, we give thanks to you for your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whose life, ministry, death, and resurrection has opened the way of salvation to your kingdom. This day we have received a new Christ calling for us to join him as kingdom workers to proclaim God's kingdom. Lord, the manpower can be daunting, but you will produce. So we ask that you will send us out as laborers for a plentiful harvest. Lord, the journey can be demanding, but you will provide. And we ask that you will send us out as servants for an urgent mission, removing everything that may slow, hinder, or obstruct us in giving priority, attention, and focus to this mission. Lord, the outcome can be disappointing and discouraging, but you will prevail. When we ask that you will send us out as ambassadors for an eternal kingdom to represent you wherever you place us for the sake of the people around us, for we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Peace be still.